Revelations chapter 21, Revelations chapter 21. We're going to continue on as we have been preaching through the book of Revelation for some months now. We're nearing the end of it. We have, Lord willing, a message this morning. Next Sunday, we'll conclude the book of Revelation. But I want to pick up where we left off couple Sunday mornings ago. Revelations chapter 21 and verse 9. Revelations chapter 21, verse 9. The beginning of chapter 21, we looked at the new heaven and the new earth. We know that somewhere in our future there's going to be a rapture and a resurrection. After that, there's going to be a time known as the Great Tribulation, 7 years of tribulation that comes upon this world. At the end of that tribulation, Jesus Christ will return with His saints and He will set up His millennial kingdom. After the end of that thousand-year reign with Christ, there will be the great white throne judgment where all the lost of all the ages will be sent to their final resting place, the lake of fire. And then after that, in chapter 21, we see to where there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth. There's going to be a new creation created by God. There's going to be a new city. There's going to be a new communion with God and a new constitution of safety and splendor as we live out our eternity with Christ. Now, in verse 9, we pick up on that new city that's going to be built or is being built that we will one day look forward to living in. Revelation chapter 21. And verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth of and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 140 and 4 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, chalcedonia, the fourth, an emerald, the fifth, the onyx, the sixth, sardis, the seventh, crystallite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, a topaz, the tenth, a chrysopas, the 11th, a jacinth, and the 12th, amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of his holy prophet sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. I'll ask you a question. Has any of you ever visited Biltmore over there in, I believe, North Carolina? You know, if you've never been to the Biltmore Mansion, you need to go over there and see that place. It is amazing. It is a mansion that has 250 rooms. Now, in that house, it has 65 fireplaces. It has 43 restrooms. It has a square footage of 178,000 square foot. Back when it was built, it cost about $5 million. It cost about $120 million a day. It's one of the most fanciest homes that I've ever visited. It's amazing. You need to go see it. But as amazing as that home is, the Biltmore Mansion, it compares nothing to the place that I'm going to live in one day. Amen. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He is preparing a place for 2,000 years. Jesus ascended up into heaven. He's building a place for us to dwell in. And we get a glimpse of our new home in heaven here in Revelation chapter 21 and verses 9 through chapter 22. I want to look at this place. I don't know about you, but me and Stephanie, we like to look at homes, I reckon. We like to drive down the road and say, wow, wow, wow. And sometimes we were down on the beach there in Biloxi and Gulfport, and they got some beautiful homes on the beach, and I'm thinking, I wonder what they look like inside. It's just neat to go tour people's houses and see how beautiful they are. Well, John is going to give us a glimpse of what's awaiting for those of us whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those of us who have been saved by the amazing grace of God through faith, this is going to be your dwelling place. So I don't know about you, but I want to see a little bit about it. I want to get just a small glimpse of it. And that's what John gives us here. But it's enough to whet my appetite to tell you that one day I'm going to look forward to being there. So let's just look at this new city, this new home that God has for us. We see the scene in verses 9 and 10. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me that great city, holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven. So an angel comes to John and says, John, I want to show you this city. And he identifies it by calling it what? The bride, or the holy new Jerusalem. This new city is identified with the inhabitants that's going to dwell there. The church of the living Lord, the bride of Christ, this is going to be their dwelling place. And John said, the angel tells John, John, come and see this thing. You're going to be amazed at what it looks like. It's going to be like a Christmas tree having all the ornaments that are put upon it. That's what this city's going to be like. It's going to be dressed out in splendor and glory. And this angel is kind of excited and says, John, listen, you're living on the Isle of Patmos in a prison cell. I want you to see what your new home's going to be like. I'm sure it must have thrilled him. You see, John is about to get the grand tour. Now, as amazed as I was with the Biltmore Mansion, we didn't get to see all of it. I didn't know that they had certain tours that you get to see one place, but you don't get to see other places. Now, John's going to kind of take us on the inside and on the outside, and he's going to show us what it's all about here. And he starts off there in verse 11. It says, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a jasper most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. There is going to be, according to verse 12, a great wall, and there's going to be 12 gates. Now, the glory of God is going to be the light of it. We lost that in the Garden of Eden. The glory of God dwelling with mankind, being able to walk in that glory, God's essence will be so bright that this city will need no lights, nor candles, nor even sun. And John's going to get to see this glory of God like has been missing for so long, and it's going to light up this city. He's going to get to see this great wall and also these great gates. The wall's going to have 12 foundations, the names of the 12 apostles. The gate's going to have 12 names of the tribes of Israel. You're going to have both Jews and Gentiles identified with this great city that comes down. So I want you just to close your eyes for a moment and imagine that this city is descending from heaven. You see, we know Jesus ascended up, and we know he's going to descend back down. And we know this city is going to come from God. It's going to descend back down. Now, I don't know if it'll touch the earth. I don't know if it will hover above the earth, but I do know that it's coming down and it's going to have the glory of God, excuse me, and that it's going to have this great wall and these 12 gates here. And you notice the size of it according to verse 15. And he that taught with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof, and the city lied foursquare and the length as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. A furlong is 582 feet. 12,000 furlongs is about 7 million feet, or better yet, it's about 1,500 miles. Now, I want you to even try to comprehend this. This city seems to me going to be like a square city. The breadth, the length, the height is all going to be 1,500 square miles. Now, if you laid this city, if you brought it down from the heavens and put it here in America, it would stretch from the Mississippi River all the way over to the Atlantic Ocean on the East Coast. It would also stretch from the Canada border all the way down to the Gulf Coast in Mississippi, Louisiana, and Texas. So you got from Mississippi to the Atlantic, from Canada to our southern border, that's going to be the size of this city. Now, I can't even imagine a city being 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long. So this is going to be an amazing city with the walls and the size of it. The walls are going to be 216 feet or 21 stories high. And the walls, wow, what they made of, the substance of jasper. Now, you ladies, you will understand some of these jewelry, these precious jewels here. Clear jasper like a diamond. The city in verse 18 will be made of pure gold, transparent as glass. The foundations of the wall will be jasper. According to the Bible there will be sapphire, clear blue. Chalcedonia, yellowish green. Emerald, dark green. Sardonyx, white with layers of red. Sardis, fiery red. Crystallite, a golden yellow. Beryl, sea green. You have the topaz, which is greenish yellow. Chrysophysis, a golden green. You have the jacinth, a violet, and then the amethyst purple. Now you're going to have all these walls made up of all these jewels. That'll be the foundations of the wall. Now, understand, when you take light and you shine it through some type of precious jewel, it kind of acts like a prison and it throws it out, don't it? Now you take the glory of God, His Shekinah glory, inside of this city, and it's shining out through the walls of this city, through the streets of gold. Can you imagine what that's going to look like? How splendor that's going to be. I just look at the rainbow and its colors, and I'm amazed, and I just stare up at it when I see one. Those who see this city, it's going to sparkle. It's going to shine. It's going to be like a prison. The light and glory of God going out through all of those emeralds and them jewels and all that jasper and diamond and all those precious stones. And it's just going to go out into the world around us. I don't know about you. I want to see that. It's kind of like those lights up in Alaska, the northern lights. You ever see them things flickering in the sky, all the different colors? It's a good thing I don't live up there. Y'all be saying, I wonder where the preacher's at. Well, he stayed up looking at them lights all night. I'd be mesmerized by them because it's something that's so beautiful. That's what this city is going to be like. When we see the size and the shape and the splendor of it and how it is built and the material that is used to build it, it said it's going to have gates and great pearls. Each gate will be a great pearl. I'd like to see the oyster that comes out of. Wow. The gates. Notice verse 21. I want you to see something here. It says, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, every several gate of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold. Now, I've always sung songs about the streets of gold. Here it says, the street of the city is pure gold. I don't know if there'll just be one street, but listen, one street of gold. I love gold. I love panning for gold. I love digging for gold. I like my wife digging for gold. I bought us each a magnet so we can go out in the river and suck up the black sand and hope to find a little gold in it. I'm sure God's going to say, Terry, leave the gold alone. There's plenty to go around. You ain't got to worry about finding any. But can you imagine this place? It's beyond anything that we can really identify in our mind. But that is waiting for me and you here. We get so bogged down here, worrying about all the little things, but this is waiting for me. That's my new home that John is telling us about here. I tell you what really sets it off in verse 22. The access that we have, and I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. There'll be nothing stopping us from direct access to God and Jesus. There'll be no door. Jesus said, I am the door, and it's open. There'll be no veil like there was in the temple that kept the Jews from the holiness of God, that holy place. No, Jesus ripped that veil in two when he died on the cross. You see, we are going to have access to God. We'll be able to walk up to him and Christ because they are going to be the temple. They are going to be the dwelling place there. Notice in verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light therein. The light will come from within and shine outward. Everything about the glory and majesty of Almighty God will be a reflection in and throughout this city, and not only the city, but the world that's created then. You see, I believe that's what God wanted. God wanted himself to be seen in the world that he created, but sin blinded the eyes of mankind. But sin is going to be done away with. Christ nailed it to the cross. One day it's all going to be over, and the very glory of God in his presence and all his majesty is going to just permeate the whole world that we live in. Wow, that's going to be something. That's what God wants. God wants to show himself, and he will do it in and through this city here. They won't need no sun, nor candles, nor moons. Just like when Moses entered the temple and the Shekinah glory of God came down, just as when Jesus stood on the Mount of Transfiguration and the glory shone about him, that's what we're going to see then. But it doesn't stop there. Notice verse 24. It says, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night. People will be able to enter in and out of this city. Now let me throw some things out here for you to study out. Who are the kings that are being spoken about there in verse 24? Who are the kings of the earth? If there are kings on the earth, then there's got to be nations on the earth during that time. It says they bring their glory in unto the city. You see, New Jerusalem is identified by the people that inhabited the bride of Christ. So in my thinking, the church, the living church of the living Lord, will dwell within this city. There will be those who are dwelling outside of the city, who will be bringing their honor and glory into that city. These kings and those who undoubtedly that they must be over here. So you search out and figure out who they are. But I know in verse 25 that the approachableness is that these gates will not be shut. That everybody will have the opportunity to bring honor and glory to God. And I look forward to that day. To where no longer this old sinful flesh hinders me from totally giving to God all the glory that's due unto His name. To be able in a glorified body, having the mind of Christ, to be able to say, thank you. You're worthy of all glory and all praise. And then you go to verse 26. And they shall bring the glory and honor of all the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. If you are lost here, you'll never see this place. You'll never visit it. You will never have the privilege of walking into this golden city if you're lost. If your name, according to verse 27, is not written in the Lamb's book of life. That's the names of those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, who have done like me and many of you here, who realized you were sinful, but under that condition of being a sinner, you called out to Christ by faith and said, save me and forgive me. That's how your name's written in the Lamb Book of Life. It isn't by coming to church. It isn't by being baptized. It isn't even given by giving your money to church. It's by simply confessing Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. That's how your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life. And everybody's name that is written, all the saved, will have the privilege and the opportunity to see this magnificent city and to come and go in and out of it. Why would somebody want to miss that? It'd be like me giving you the opportunity to go over there and see the Biltmore Mansion. If it was all paid for, the ticket was given to you freely, all you had to do is just go and see it all. Why would somebody not want to do that? Why would somebody not want to be saved? Why would they want to live their life lost and die and have their home in a lake of fire when their home could be the city of gold? But I tell you, it even gets better. If it stopped right there, it'd be a great enough place to go to. But notice what John says in chapter 22. Notice its attractions. There are going to be some things around. The city itself is going to be amazing. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. There's going to be the river of life that runs out of the throne of God. They're out of this city. I like rivers. I like fishing in rivers. I like swimming in rivers. And there again, I like digging for gold in rivers. This would be neat if this river was running over that street of gold. I'd have a blast there. But there's going to be this river of life. But notice in verse 2, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, which was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. Wow, this is a tough verse. This is one of the toughest verses to interpret in the Bible. The healing of the nations, the tree of life, we know what that is. That was in the Garden of Eden. That had the fruit that if Adam and Eve would have partake of it, they would have lived forever in a sinful body. So God put the cherubim there to guard them and to get them away from it. Here we see it again. Now it has these 12 manners of fruit. It has this fruit every month, but it notice it says that the leaves are for the healing of the nations. We're in eternity now. There's no sin, sickness, nor sorrow. So what is the healing of the nations? What are these leaves for? Well, some feel that the term is used as therapeutic. In other words, it would be like, you ever go in the mountains over here in the fall time when all the leaves are so many colors? And you just drive around and you say, wow. You just leave all your worries and your burdens behind. And you're just amazed. It's almost like a therapeutic. It's almost like a healing takes place. Maybe that's what these leaves are talking about here. Maybe that's the healing of the nations. You find a better explanation, call me and we'll discuss it there. But there's going to be the river of life. There's going to be the tree of life. You notice also there it says, and there shall be no more curse. The curse that Adam and Eve brought upon the world through their sin, the curse, the effects of sin will no longer be in this new creation, this new world, this new city. We won't ever have to worry about that. No more sweat of the brow, no more sin, no more sorrow, no more disease, no more death, no more separation. All that has been done away with there. And in verse 3 it says, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Uh-oh, that's a biggie there. We're going to have to work there? It says servants will serve him. A lot of times we identify serving the Lord as something that is tough and hard and, you know, woe is me. But no, I think it will be an honor and a pleasure to stand before Almighty God, to be able to serve the Lord, the one who did so much for us. So there will be servants. Verse 4, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. In the tribulation period, the Antichrist put the mark of his beast upon the heads of those that were lost. But here the saved will wear the name of God on their forehead, to ever, forever be branded with his name. Maybe that will be our passport sign. I don't know. Maybe when we're traveling the galaxies and the worlds beyond this world, wherever we go in all of God's created new world, we will be identified by that name that's in our forehead, the name of God. That's pretty special to me. That shows me that he still claims me. He still loves me. And he still wants me to bear his name. And in verse 5, and there shall be no more night there. There shall need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto him, his servants, the thing which must shortly be. Folks, there's a great home waiting for you. Are you prepared to go there? I reckon that's the bottom question for today. Are you prepared for this place? Have you made your preparations? Has your ticket been purchased? Not by you. There's nothing you can do. There's no amount of money you can give. No amount of works or goodness or righteousness that we can even offer to God as a pass into this place. The only preparation we can do is simply accept Jesus Christ and say, Lord, forgive me and save me. If you've done that, wow, there's a bright new world coming. And here's a glimpse of our heavenly home that Jesus said, I've been preparing for you. Just as a bride adorned for her husband, this spectacular city's going to come down and we're going to dwell with God forever and ever. That kind of makes me get through the rest of this year. And no matter what next year comes and brings, I can get through it. Because I know what my future holds. A place with God. Bow your heads just for a moment.